In May 2001, Ottawa, the capital city of Canada, welcomes the blossoming spring and the annual Tulip Festival.
State of Danzig. Warsaw is bombed, blasted, and shelled. Poland is in ruin.
In May 1940, Nazi Germany occupied Poland, Norway, and Denmark. Shortly afterwards, Germany started attacking Holland. One month later, to ensure the safety of the Dutch royal family, Queen Wilhelmina quietly sent her daughter, Princess Juliana, along with her family, to Canada. During that troubled time, the Canadian people and the Canadian government willingly and courageously accepted the Dutch royal family. They were settled in at Government House in Ottawa. 2.5 years later, on January 19, 1943, Princess Juliana gave birth to Princess Marjorie Francisca at the Ottawa Civic Hospital. The arrival of the new princess was like a breath of hope for the Dutch people and greatly encouraged them in their fight against the Nazis. It also laid a solid foundation for the friendship between the peoples of Holland and Canada, which has endured for more than half a century. In August 1945, the royal family returned to a liberated Holland. To express their gratitude to the Canadian government and Canadian people, the Dutch sent a gift of 10,000 tulips to Ottawa. Since then, the tulip has become a symbol of peace and friendship for Canada, and Ottawa has become the city with the most tulips outside of Holland. In May 1952, Ottawa held its first Tulip Festival. The celebration was so successful that several European countries followed suit, and annual festivals are now held in many places. One of the joyful events at the Ottawa Festival is a flotilla of boats along the Rideau Canal. Prominent among this year's participants was the Farandafa boat, filled with people doing exercises that looked like blossoming flowers as they moved serenely through the water. The significance of this Chinese practice peacefully taking place in Ottawa can be likened to the former visit of the Dutch royal family seeking a safe harbor in the same city. When Jan Zemin's illegal persecution of Falun Gong, also known as Falun Dafa, began in July 1999, the Canadian people, with their compassion and great sense of justice, quickly recognized the truth. The Canadian government was the first to condemn the persecution.
Truthfulness and compassion and forbearance and for giving expression to these values. As do the Falun Gong and exercised meditation, spiritual movement, for giving expression to these values, they found themselves arrested, detained, tortured, and sentenced to a forced labor in prison or detention in a psychiatric institution. Each and all of them have been the victim of systematic, if not systemic, violations of their human rights. Their rights to freedom of conscience and religion, the freedom of assembly and association, the freedom of information and expression, and even their fundamental right to a fair trial that should not have been needed to begin with.
On November 17, 2000, a press conference was held at the University of Ottawa to spread the shocking news that Professor Kunlun Zhang, a Canadian citizen, had been illegally detained in China for practicing Falun Gong. After being fined 10,000 yuan, which is about $2,000, without any legal procedure, he had been sentenced to 3 years in a labor camp. Word had escaped that he had also been tortured. 60-year-old Professor Zhang was a very famous artist. He had been a professor of sculpture at McGill University and the recipient of a scholarship from the Quebec Minister of Culture. In China, he is a past president of the Sculpture Research Institute of Shandong Art College and the winner of several state and provincial grand prizes. Several times, his name has been listed in the Who's Who World Book.
Movement of Falun Dafa, happening as it is now, emanating, if you will, from China and carrying out across the world, if we don't help to stand up for something that has such pervasive, I think, and important ramifications in terms of enlightenment and personal freedoms and liberty and all these important things, if we don't take a stand on this now, I think we will be, history will cast aspersions on us for not having done so, for not having had the foresight to do whatever we could to help us out, to make sure that these people are allowed the freedom of spiritual practice they deserve.
After the illegal sentencing of Professor Zhang, the Canadian media was instrumental in maintaining coverage of the story, keeping the public informed and interested in helping. Within 2 months, an unprecedented nationwide campaign had been conducted, calling for justice and the rescue of Kunlun Zhang. Tremendous support came from officials of the Foreign Affairs Department, Amnesty International, and the media. Up to 10,000 people signed petitions, including dozens of MPs and MPPs, university professors, students, and citizens across the country. Professor Zhang was released and returned safely to Ottawa in January 2001. True, upright and noble, pure and beautiful. You're the pride of Canada. You witnessed the helping hand from kind-hearted Canadians to people in trouble 50 years ago. Once again, you have witnessed the truly righteous acts of that great nation and its people. And you will witness the glorious future that results from these acts of compassion and kindness.